Scholars to the Bard Brawl. My name's Daniel J. Roa. I'm host of the Bard Brawl. And just went for a run. People like to know what you do with your life because it connects you to them.
It's also snowing. You went for
Yes. Your
hardcore.
It's a lovely run in the snow. Very hardcore. That's Eric Jean, also hardcore, but with a short haircut.
Unrecognizable.
You're going to have to beat up someone to prove that you're hardcore.
But it's like trendy and asymmetrical, like longer on one side and not
on the other. Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Oh. You don't notice these things when you wear a hat and then take it off. Yeah, that's exciting. You listeners are missing out on checking out Eric's new haircut.
Right.
Very edgy.
Edgy. That's Stephanie E.M. Coleman complimenting Eric Jean's new haircut. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
You?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Is
this the... You live together. Is this the first time you ask her today? Did you save it for the show?
I saved it for the show.
Yeah, I'd like to know that it's authentic.
We're recording at Bard Brawl Alpha Studio, also known as our kitchen. And we have a new Bard Brawler. For the second week in a row, we've got a new brawler. Last week it was Celeste, who had a dinner with the professor, whatever that's all about. I didn't ask. But this week we have Brooke, dear poet,
marathoner, scholar.
And which instrument did you play in the band?
I was in choir.
Oh, singer.
Yeah.
A vocalist.
I was the first soprano.
Oh, wow. Tony Soprano is always the first soprano in my heart, but... Rest in peace. Anyway, Mr. Nick McMahon is back again, who is upset at the Oscar snub of the film Dreamcatcher, which he thought
Dreamcatcher, yes,
that should have been nominated but wasn't.
Dreamcast.
Sega Dreamcast. We are back, going after March breaks, winter reading breaks, everything like that. We are reading Titus Andronicus. We are in Act 2. We are going pound for pound like Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus. I was listening to Wrecking Ball today.
Yeah.
More than once, I'll admit it.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. And my editor was listening to the Taylor Swift song. What's it called?
Blank Space.
The one that...
Shake It Off. Style.
I don't know.
And the play is gonna play,
yeah, that
play,
one.
Play.
Shake it off.
So, anyway, Taylor Swift and Miley Cyrus. You, Bard Brawl listeners, can tell us who you think would win in that pound-for-pound match. Eric Jean, Titus Andronicus, and early Shakespeare...
Also a new Carly Rae Jepsen tune that you guys should all check out. I understand that it's in the league of Call Me Maybe.
Ooh.
Wow.
Really?
That changes things.
I have not heard it, but same.
Does she sing Call Me Maybe?
She does.
I thought...
She wrote it too, didn't she?
Wait, who sings Brighter Than the Sun? Colby Collette.
I don't know.
I don't even know that song.
Ah, well, it's... Once anyone looks it up, it'll be stuck in your head.
The only thing I know is Shakespeare.
Yes, okay, yes. Titus Andronicus. The early Shakespearean play, early in his career... Late in the Roman historical epoch, Act 1 was full of what?
Confusion. No, there's a lot of people dying, though, and a lot of people getting angry.
Well, two people died.
That's a lot for Act 1.
Yeah, and one scene, too.
One scene? Yeah, we haven't even gotten to Aaron, who's the villain of the play, right? Like, we haven't even gotten to him yet.
So two people have been killed. Titus Andronicus' son, who Titus killed.
That's right.
And Tamora's son, who Titus' sons killed. So,
Titus killed.
Well, they all did.
Well,
they
cut
him up and...
It was like a team thing.
Yeah, they cut him up and came back with swords all bloody and stuff. So two people have been killed. No villain has acted.
Well, Tamora's a bit of a villain. But
she didn't do any... She didn't kill anybody.
Nope.
The deaths were all off.
Yeah. But, so what happened, basically... Titus comes back to Rome. He's won some war, because that seems to be the pattern. And there's a fight for the throne between Saturninus and his brother. And someone says, hey, Titus, why don't you become emperor? He's like, no, I don't want it, but I'll back Saturninus. So everyone makes him emperor. And then there's some confusion because Titus has a daughter and the emperor wants to marry her. But the emperor's brother, Pausanias, is like, well, she's kind of already engaged to me. And that potentially ends up being some bad news, but it kind of gets resolved. And he decides, I'm just going to marry this prisoner, Tamora, and make her my queen. And then she's like, treat Titus nice so you can kill him later.
I thought Saturninus kind of like played that whole thing, like, I'm going to marry her, and then, but then again.
Yeah, but then he got really pissed off when Pausanias went, okay, but I want her. And he's like, well, you can't have her because she's the woman I'm going to marry, because she's the woman I'm supposed to marry, I guess, as the emperor.
And the her in question is Lavinia, and all, now that that's out of the way, nothing but good things will happen to her. Right? Brooke, you like this play.
It's my favorite. Why
is this your favesies?
It's just a nice, sweet little play.
Most people don't describe it that way, but it's pretty sweet. So,
it's a pastoral elegy.
We have some subs that, for you who joined us last time, we have to sub because Andre's not here, and Troy's not here, and Celeste isn't here. But that's okay. We've got 5 of us, and we've got a ton of characters. So stick with us. There will be some doubling up of characters, but you won't be able to tell, listener, because our voice acting is pretty good. Pretty good. You can't tell.
Daniel's mustache.
Looking pretty good, incidentally. I did it for this fundraising ice jumping in the water event, and then I just haven't shaved it off yet, and now I'm growing attached to it. So we'll see how long this lasts. It's pretty silly.
Are you attached to it, Stephanie?
I was like, who is the man? Who's that man?
Who's the man in that relationship? Yeah. Dan or the mustache?
And then I got used to it very quickly, and now I'm very used to him mustachioed. So.
Yeah, I can't really like recall you without a mustache now.
Oh.
Now that it's there.
I don't know.
You should grow it. You should try the mustache, Eric, and see how long it lasts.
I'm allowed to grow my hair long. I'm allowed to not shave my beard for weeks on end. I am not allowed to have a mustache. Oh.
What if it were like a Dave Babich, like a nice, bushy...
Tom Selleck?
Selleck.
Maybe one way to find out.
We'll see. Maybe we'll see how that goes.
All right. So, we are in Rome or thereabouts. We have in Act 2, Scene 1, we have finally the introduction of Aaron the Moor. I was thinking about this play. It's weird because it has Moors, Goths, and Romans. It's kind of like a hodgepodge. Yeah. It's good for casting because then you can have all different races. And
Except for Asian people.
Well, yeah. Except for Asian people. Right.
Hey, I don't make the rules.
I will play Aaron the Moor. We also have Demetrius, who is Tamora's son, douchey son, played by, I can't remember if it was Demetrius or Huron, but one of them is played by King Henry VIII, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. And then
Timur, right?
Yeah, the Julia Timur. We also have Chiron, who I've been calling Huron. Yeah,
and
Eric is Huron, so we're in.
Are we going with Huron or Chiron? You can go with what you want, but I think he's decided that I'm Jewish.
Okay,
but Huron is Jewish.
Yeah, I've decided.
Just one son.
Tamora is not a loyal woman. She seems to have had many suitors, so I've given her a bit of a backstory.
So we got Dimitri the Russian and Huron the Jew.
Right. Yeah. So we're in Act 2, Scene 1, Rome before the palace. Aaron the Moor, Huron, Demetrius. Now climbeth Tamora, Olympus' top, safe out of fortune's shot and sits aloft, secure of thunder's crack or lightning flash, advanced upon pale envy's threatening reach, as when the golden sun salutes the morn, and having gilt the ocean with his beams, gallops the zodiac in his glistering coach, and overlooks the highest peering hill, so Tamora. Upon her wish doth earthly honor wait, and virtue stoops and trembles at her frown. Then, Aaron, arm thy heart and fit thy thoughts to mount aloft with thy imperial mistress, and mount her pitch, whom thou in triumph long hast prisoner held, fettered in Amora's chains, Amor's chains, and faster bound to Aaron's charming eyes. Then is Prometheus tied to Caucasus. Away with slavish weeds and servile thoughts. I will be bright and shine in pearl and gold to wait upon this new-made empress. To wait, said I, to wanton with this queen, this goddess, this Semiramis, this nymph, this siren that will charm Rome's Saturnine and see his shipwreck and his common wheels. Holo, what storm is this?
Enter Chiron and Demetrius, braving.
Chiron, thy years want wit, thy wit wants edge, and manners to intrude where I am graced, and may, for aught thou knowest, affected be.
Demetrius, thou doth overween in all, and so in this bear me down with braves. 'Tis not the difference of a year or two makes me less gracious, or thee more fortunate. I am as able and as fit as thou to serve, and to deserve my mistress' grace, and that my sword upon thee shall approve, and plead my passion for Lavinia's love.
Clubs, clubs, these lovers will not keep the peace.
Why, boy, although our mother unadvised gave you a dancing rapier by your side, are you so desperate grown to threat your friends? Go to, have your laugh glued within your sheath till you know better how to handle it.
Meanwhile, sir, with the little skill I have, full well shalt thou perceive how much I dare.
Hey, boy, grow ye so brave?
They draw.
Shing!
Aaron coming forward.
Why, how now, lord? So near the emperor's palace, dare ye draw and maintain such a quarrel openly? Full well I wot the ground of this grudge. I would not for a million gold the cause were known to them it most concerns. Nor would your noble mother for much more be so dishonored in the court of Rome. For shame, put up.
Not I, till I have sheathed my rapier in his bosom, and withal thrust these reproachful speeches down his throat that he hath breathed in my dishonor here.
For that I am prepared and full resolved, foul-spoken coward, that thunderest with thy tongue, and with thy weapon nothing darest perform.
Away, I say, now by the gods that warlike Goths adore, this petty brabble will undo us all. Why, lords, and think you not how dangerous it is to jet upon the prince's right? What? Is Lavinia then become so loose, or Bassiana so degenerate, that for her love such quarrels may be broached, without controlment, justice, or revenge? Young lords, beware! And should the empress know this discord's ground, the music would not please.
I care not. I knew she and all the world. I love Lavinia more than all the world. Would a rhyme that...
World with world. It's a good rhyme.
Youngling, learn thou to make some meaner choices. Lavinia is thine elder brother's hope.
Why, are ye mad? Or know ye not in Rome how furious and impatient they be, and cannot brook competitors in love? I tell you, lords, you do but plot your deaths by this device.
Aaron, 1,000 deaths would I propose to achieve her whom I love.
To achieve her how?
What? Why makest thou it so strange? She is a woman, therefore may be wooed. She is a woman, therefore may be won. She is Lavinia, therefore must be loved. What man? More water gladdeth by the mill than wots the miller of. And easy it is of a cut loaf to steal a shiv, we know. Though Bassianus be the emperor's brother, better than he have worn Vulcan's badge.
Richard III type speech there.
Yeah.
And therefore be wooed.
Well, it's not. They're not too far apart either.
Yeah. Aye, and as good as Saturninus may.
Then why should he despair that knows to court it with words, fair looks, and liberality? What, hast not thou full often struck a doe, and borne her cleanly by the keeper's nose?
Why, then it seems some certain snatch or so would serve your turns.
Aye, so the turn were served.
Aaron, thou hast hit it.
Would you had hit it too? Then should not we be tired with this ado? Why, harkee,
Are you such fools to square for this? Would it offend you then that both should speed?
Faith, not me.
Nor me, so I were one.
For shame, be friends and join for that you jar. 'Tis policy and stratagem must do that you affect, and so must you resolve that what you cannot as you would achieve, you must perforce accomplish as you may. Take this of me, Lucrece was not more chaste than this Lavinia, Bassinius' love. A speedier course than lingering languishment must we pursue, and I have found the path. My lords, a solemn hunting is in hand. There will the lovely Roman ladies troop. The forest walks are wide and spacious, and many unfrequented plots there are, fitted by kind for rape and villainy. Single you thither, then this dainty doe, and strike her home by force, if not by words. This way, or not at all, stand you in hope. Come, come, our empress with her sacred wit to villainy and vengeance consecrate. Will we acquaint with all what we intend, and she shall file our engines with advice that will not suffer you to square yourselves, but to your wish's height advance you both. The Emperor's court is like the house of fame, the palace full of tongues, of eyes, and ears. The woods are ruthless, dreadful, deaf, and dull. There, speak and strike, brave boys, and take your turns. Yikes. There, serve your lust, shadowed from heaven's eye, and revel in Lavinia's treasury.
Thy counsel, lad, smells of no cowardice.
Sit fas aut nefas till I find the stream to cool this heat, a charm to calm these fits. Prostiga per manus vehor.
Jeez. Exit. Gross. All right, we're in a forest, or we're in the said dull, dim, dumb forest near Rome. We have Titus Andronicus. Nick, are you ready to,
rock.
Put on the mantle? We also have Lucius, who doesn't say anything in here. Quintus Martius Marcus, who I played last time, so I'll redo that one. Saturninus is you, Eric. And Brooke, you will be Bassianus, Saturninus' younger brother. Uh-huh. I think that's it. Enter Titus Andronicus and his three sons, Lucius, Quintus, and Martius, making a noise, not Mutius, because he killed him. Titus did. Making a noise with hounds. And horns.
The hunt is up.
And Marcus.
The hunt is up. The morn is bright and gray. The fields are fragrant and the woods are green. Uncouple here and let us make a bay and wake the emperor and his lovely bride. And rouse the prince and ring a hunter's peal. That all the court may echo with the noise. Sons, let it be your courage as it is ours to attend the emperor's person carefully. I have been troubled in my sleep this night, but dawning day new comfort hath inspired.
Hear a cry of hounds, wind horns, and a peal.
What a wind. Oh, anyway. Then enter Saturninus, Tamora, Bassianus, Lavinia, Hihon, Demetrius, and their attendants.
Many good morrows to your majesty, madam. To you as many and as good. I promised your grace a hunter's peal.
And you have rung it lustily, my lords, somewhat too early for new married ladies.
Lavinia, how say you?
I say no, I'll bear Lavinia. I have been broad awake 2 hours and more.
Come on then, horse and chariots let us have into our sport.
To tomorrow.
Madam, now shall you see our Roman hunting.
I have dogs, my lord, will rouse the proudest panther in the chase and climb the highest promontory top.
And I have horse will follow where the game makes way and run like swallows o'er the plain.
Oh, Chiron, we hunt not, we, with horse nor hound, but hope to pluck a dainty doe to ground.
Gross. It doesn't mean anything nice. Horrible. Oh, now we're in a lonely part of the forest. This scene has a lot of characters, so stay with us. We've got Tamora, Brooke, Bassianus, Stephanie, Lavinia. Nick, maybe you can just sub for Lavinia. She's in it for a bit. She
sure.
Talk
who
later.
Am I?
Bassianus.
Wait a sec.
I thought.
Oh, no, sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
Brooke is Bassianus.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to change your voice.
Uh-huh.
It's tricky. And then Demetrius, Stephanie, Chiron, Eric, Quintus, and Martius show up, so maybe Brooke and Stephanie could take that. Quintus, Martius, and then, oh my goodness. We'll try our best.
Yeah.
We get stuck.
Just... Well, Lavinia's going to soon not be a speaker.
Okay, well, don't ruin it.
So.
A lonely part in the forest. Enter Aaron alone with a bag of gold. Ah, just like Timon.
Mm-hmm.
He that hath wit would think that I had none to bury so much gold under a tree, and never after to inherit it. Let him that thinks of me so abjectly know that this gold must coin a stratagem, which cunningly effected will beget a very excellent piece of villainy, and so repose sweet gold for their unrest.
Hides the gold.
And that have their alms out of the empress's chest.
Enter Tamora alone to the moor.
My lovely Aaron, wherefore look'st thou sad when everything doth make a gleeful boast? The birds chant melody on every bush, the snake lies rolled in the cheerful sun, the green leaves quiver with cooling wind and make a checkered shadow on the ground. Under their sweet shade, Aaron, let us sit, and whilst the babbling echo mocks the hounds, replying shrilly to the well-tuned horns, as if a double hunt were heard at once, let us sit down and mark their yellowing noise. And after conflict such as was supposed, the wandering prince and Dido once enjoyed, when with a happy storm they were surprised and curtained with a council-keeping cave. We may each wreathed in the other's arms, our pastimes done, possess a golden slumber, while hounds and horns and sweet melodious birds be unto us as in a nurse's songs of lullaby to bring her babe asleep.
Madam, though Venus govern your desire, Saturn is dominator over mine. What signifies my deadly standing eye, my silence, and my cloudy melancholy? My fleece of woolly hair that now uncurls, even as an adder when she doth unroll to some fatal execution. No, madam, these are no venereal signs. Vengeance is in my heart, death in my hand. Blood and revenge are hammering in my head. Hark, Tamora, the empress of my soul, which never hopes more heaven than rests in thee. This is the day of doom for Bassianus. His Philomel must lose her tongue today. Thy sons make pillage of her chastity and wash their hands in Bassianus' blood. Seest thou this letter? Take it up, I pray thee, and give the king this fatal plotted scroll. Now question me no more. We are espied. Here comes a parcel of our hopeful booty, which dreads not yet their lives' destruction.
Enter Bassianus and Lavinia.
Ah, my sweet Moor, sweeter to me than life.
No more, great empress. Bassianus comes. Be cross with him, and I'll go fetch thy sons to back thy quarrels, whatsoever they be.
Exit.
Who have we here? Rome's royal empress, unfurnished of her well-beseeming troop? Or is it Dian, habited like her, who hath abandoned her holy groves to see the general hunting in this forest? Saucy controller of my private steps, had I the power that some say Dian had, thy temples should be planted presently with horns, as was Actaeon's, and the hounds should drive upon thy new transformed limbs, unmannerly intruder as thou art.
Under your patience, gently empress, 'tis thought you have a goodly gift in horning, and to be doubted that your moor and you are singled forth to try experiments? Jove shield your husband from his hounds today. 'Tis pity they should take him for a stag.
Believe me, queen, your swart Cimmerian doth make your honor of this body's hue, spotted, detested, and abominable. Why are you sequestered from all your train? Dismounted from your snow-white goodly steed, and wandered hither to an obscure plot, accompanied but with a barbarous moor, if foul desire had not conducted you.
And being intercepted in your sport, great reason that my noble lord be rated for sauciness. I pray you let us hence, and let her joy her raven-colored love. This valley fits the purpose passing well.
The king, my brother, shall have note of this.
Aye, for these slips have made him noted long. Good king, to be so mightily abused.
Why, I have patience to endure all this.
Enter Chiron and Demetrius.
How now, dear sovereign and our gracious mother? Why doth your highness look so pale and wan?
Have I not reason, think you, to look pale? These two have ticed me hither to this place, a barren, detested vale, you see it is. The trees, through summer, yet forlorn and lean, overcome with moss and baleful mistletoe. Here never shines the sun. Here nothing breeds, unless the nightly owl of fatal raven. And when they showed me this abhorred pit, they told me here, at dead time of the night, a thousand fines, a thousand hissing snakes, 10,000 swelling toads, as many urchins, would make such fearful and confused cries as any mortal body hearing it should straight fall mad or else die suddenly. No sooner had they told the hellish tale, but straight they told me they would bind me here onto the body of a dismal ewe and leave me to this miserable death. And then they called me foul, adulterous, lascivious, goth, in all the bitterest terms that ever ear did hear to such effect. And had you not by wondrous fortune come, this vengeance on me had they execute it, revenge it, as you love your mother's life, or be ye not henceforth called my children.
This is a witness that I am thy son.
Stabs him.
And this for me struck home to show my strength.
Also stabs Bassianus, who dies.
That's right.
Aye, come, Semiramis, nay, Barbarus, Tamara, for no name fits thy nature but thy own.
Give me the poignard, you shall know, my boys. Your mother's hand shall right your mother's wrong.
Stay, madam. Here is more belongs to her. First thrash the corn, then after burn the straw. This minion stood upon her chastity, upon her nuptial vow, her loyalty, and with that painted hope braves your mightiness. And shall she carry this under her grave?
And if she do, I would I were a eunuch. Drag hence her husband to some secret hole, and make his dead trunk pillow to our lust. Ugh.
But when ye have the honey we desired, let not the wasp outlive us both to sting.
I warrant you, madam, we'll make that sure. Come, mistress, now perforce we will enjoy that nice preserved honesty of yours.
Oh, Tamara, thou bearest a woman's face.
I will not hear her speak. Away with her.
Sweet lords, entreat her, hear me but a word.
Listen, fair madam, let it be your glory to see her tears, but be your heart to them as unrelenting flint to drops of rain.
When did the tiger's young ones teach the dam? Oh, do not learn her wrath, she taught it thee. The milk thou suck'st from her did turn to marble, even at thy teat thou hadst thy tyranny. Yet every mother breeds not sons alike.
To Huron.
Do thou entreat her show a woman pity?
What? Wouldst thou have me prove myself a bastard?
'Tis true. The raven doth not hatch a lark, yet have I heard. Oh, could I find it now? The lion moved with pity did endure to have his princely paws pared all away. Some say that ravens foster forlorn children, the whilst their own birds famish in their nests. Oh, be to me, though thy heart hearts may know, nothing so kind but something pitiful.
I know not what it means. Away with her.
Oh, let me teach thee, for my father's sake, that gave thee life, when well he might have slain thee. Be not obdurate. Open thy deaf ears.
Hadst thou not in person never offended me, even for the sake of my pitiless. Remember, boys, I poured forth tears in vain to save your brother from the sacrifice. But fierce Andronicus would not relent. Therefore, away with her, and use her as you will. The worse to her, the better loved of me.
Oh, Tamara, be called the gentle queen, and with thine own hands kill me in this place. For 'tis not life that I've begged so long. Poor I was slain when Bassianus died.
What beggest thou then, fond woman? Let me go.
'Tis present death I beg. One thing more that womanhood denies my tongue to tell. Oh, keep me from their worse than killing lust, and tumble me into some loathsome pit where never man's eye may behold my body. Do this and be a charitable murderer.
So should I rob my sweet sons of their fee? No, let them satisfy their lust on thee.
Ew. Away, for thou hast stayed here too long, lassie.
No grace, no womanhood? I, beastly creature, the blood an enemy to our general name. Confusion fall.
Nay, then I'll stop your mouth. Bring thou her husband. This is the hole where Aaron bid us hide him.
Demetrius throws the body of Bassianus into the pit, then exunt Demetrius and Chiron dragging off Lavinia. Now I can't stop saying it like that. Chiron dragging off Lavinia.
It's okay. you can say whatever we want.
Okay.
Farewell, my sons. See that you make her sure. Never let my heart know merry cheer indeed, till all the Andronici be made away. Now will I hence to seek my lovely Moor, and let my spleenful sons their truel deflower.
Exit.
Gross.
Enter Aaron with two of Titus's sons, Quintus and Marcus.
Come on, my lords. The better foot before. Straight will I bring you to the lonesome pit where I espied the panther fast asleep. Quintus, Brooke, maybe? Martius, Stephanie?
My sight is very dull, whatever it bodes.
And mine, I promise you, were it not for shame, well could I leave our sport to sleep a while.
Whoa!
Falls into the pit!
What art thou fallen? What subtle hole is this? Whose mouth is covered with rude-growing, briars? Upon whose leaves are drops of new-shed blood, as fresh as morning dew distilled on flowers? A very fatal place it seems to me. Speak, brother, hast thou hurt thee with the fall?
Oh, brother, was the dismalest object hurt that ever I with sight made heart lament.
Now I will fetch the king and find them here, that he thereby may have a likely guess how these were they that made away his brother.
Exit.
Why does not comfort me and help me out from this unhallowed and bloodstained hole?
I am surprised with an uncouth fear. A chilling sweat overruns my trembling joints.
Oh, poor you.
My heart suspects more than mine eyes perceive.
To prove thou hast a true divining heart, Aaron and thou look down into this den and see a fearful sight of blood and death.
Aaron is gone, and my compassionate heart will not permit mine eyes once to behold the thing where it trembles my surmise. Oh, tell me who it is, for never till now was I a child to fear I know not what.
Lord Bassianus lies imbrued here, all on a heap, like to a slaughtered lamb, in this detested dark blood-drinking pit.
If it be dark, how dost thou know 'tis he?
Good question.
Upon his bloody finger he doth wear a precious ring that lightens all the whole, which, like a taper in some monument, doth shine upon the dead man's earthy cheeks and shows the ragged entrails of the pit. So pale did shine the moon on Pyramus when he by night lay bathed in maiden blood. O brother, help me with thy fainting hand. If fear hath made thee faint as me it hath, out of this fell-devouring receptacle as hateful as Cocytus's misty mouth.
Reach me thy hand that I may help thee out, or wanting strength to do thee so much good, I may be plucked into the swallowing womb of this deep pit, poor Bassianus's grave. I have no strength to pluck thee to the brink.
Nor I no strength to climb without thy help.
Thy hand once more, I will not loose again till thou art here aloft, or I below. Thou canst not come to me, I come to thee.
Falls in.
All right.
Enter the Emperor and Aaron the Moor.
Along with me. I'll see what hole is here and what he is that now is leapt into it. Say, who art thou that lately didst descend into this gaping hollow of the earth?
The unhappy son of old Andronicus, brought hither in a most unlucky hour to find thy brother Bassianus dead.
My brother dead? I know thou dost but jest. He and his lady both are at the lodge, upon the north side of this present chase. 'Tis not an hour since I left them there.
We know not where you left him alive, but out, alas, here we have so found him dead.
Enter Tamora with attendants Titus, Andronicus, and Lucius.
Where is my lord the king?
Here, Tamora, though grieved with killing grief.
Where is thy brother Bassianus?
Now to the bottom dost thou search my wound. Poor Bassianus here lies murdered.
Then all too late I bring this fatal writ, the complot of this timeless tragedy, and wonder greatly that man's face can fold in pleasing smiles such murderous tyranny.
She giveth Saturnine a letter. reads the letter, Saturnine.
And if we miss to meet him handsomely, sweet huntsman, Bessianus, 'tis we mean, of course, so there's no confusion. Do thou so much as dig the grave for him. Thou knowest our meaning. Look for thy reward amongst the nettles at the alder tree, which overshades the mouth of that same pit where we decreed to bury Bessianus. Do this and purchase us thy lasting friends. Oh, Tamara, was ever heard the like? This is the pit, and this the elder tree. Look, sirs, if you can find the huntsman out, that should have murdered Bessianus there.
My gracious lord, here is the bag of gold, to Titus.
Two of thy whelps, fell curs of bloody kind, have here bereft my brother of his life. Sirs, drag them from the pit, careful not to fall into it, unto the prisons. There let them bide until we have devised some never heard of tormenting pain for them.
What are they in this pit? A wondrous thing, how easily murder is discovered.
High Emperor, upon my feeble knee, I beg this boon, with tears not lightly shed, that this fell fault of my accursed sons, accursed if the fault be proved in them.
If it be proved? You see it as apparent. Who found this letter? Tamora, was it you?
Andronicus himself did take it up.
I did, my lord. Yet let me be their bail. For by my father's reverend tomb, I vow they shall be ready at your highness's will to answer their suspicion with their lives.
Thou shalt not bail them. See thou follow me. Some bring the murdered body, some the murderers. Let them not speak a word. The guilt is plain, for by my soul, were their worst end dead than death, that end upon them should be executed.
Andronicus, I will entreat the king. Fear not thy sons. They shall do well enough.
Come, Lucius, come. Stay not to talk with them.
See, it's when you have to play multiple characters in this play, it's not, doesn't so bad, because you'll probably wind up dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or whatever happened to Lavinia. Oh, here we'll get to fine. Act 2, Scene 4, another part of the forest.
Oh, this is going to be an interesting scene.
Enter the Empress's sons, Demetrius and Hieron, with Lavinia, her hands cut off and her tongue cut out and ravaged.
What?
Okay, so you don't have to read in this scene, Nick, but you are in it. So if you could...
Oh, you might have to gurgle and make gurgle. Sounds from time to time.
I can do it.
So now, go tell, and if thy tongue can speak, who 'twas that cut thy tongue and ravished thee?
Write down thy mind, bewray thy meaning so, and if thy stumps will let thee play the scribe.
See how with signs and tokens she can scrowl.
Go home. Call for sweet water. Wash thy hands.
She hath no tongue to call, nor hands to wash, and so let's leave her to her silent walks.
And 'twere my cause I should go hang myself.
If thou hadst hands to help thee knit the cord.
This is so disturbing. Exodus, Demetrius, insane. And Chiron. Wind horns. You can do horns whenever you want. Enter Marcus from hunting. Who is this? My niece that flies away so fast. Cousin, a word, where is your husband? If I do dream, what all my wealth would wake me. If I do wake, some plan to strike me down, that I may slumber in eternal sleep. Speak, gentle niece, what stern, ungentle hands hath lopped and hewed and made thy body bare of her two branches, those sweet ornaments whose circling shadows kings have sought to sleep in, and might not gain so great a happiness as half thy love? Why dost not speak to me? Alas, a crimson river of warm blood, like to a bubbling fountain stirred with wind, doth rise and fall beneath thy rosy lips, coming and going with thy honey breath. But sure some Tereus hath deflowered thee, and lest thou shouldst detect him, cut thy tongue. Oh, now thou turnest away thy face for shame, and notwithstanding all this loss of blood, and from a conduit with their three ensuing sprouts, yet do thy cheeks look red as Titan's face, blushing to be encountered with a cloud. Shall I speak for thee? Shall I say 'tis so? Oh, that I knew thy heart and knew thy the beast, that I might rail at him to ease my mind. Sorrow concealed like an oven stopped doth burn the heart to cinders where it is. Fair Philomela, why she but lost her tongue, and in a tedious sampler sued her mind. But, lovely niece, that mean is cut from thee, a craftier Tereus, cousin, hast thou met? And he hath cut those pretty fingers off that could have better sued than Philomel. Oh, had the monster seen those lily hands tremble like aspen leaves upon a lute, and make the silken strings delight to kiss them, he would not then have touched them for his life. Or, had he heard the heavenly harmony which that sweet tongue hath made, he would have dropped his knife and fell asleep. As Cerberus at the Thracian poet's feet, come, let us go, and make thy father blind, for such a sight will blind a father's eye. 1 hour storm will drown the fragrant meads. What will whole months of tears thy father's eyes? Do not draw back, for we will mourn with thee. Oh, could our mourning ease thy misery? Intense. And that's act two. So we have a total of four people dead, two acts, two in jail about to be executed, and one ravished with her tongue cut out.
I like the part when they go hunting.
No one hunted anything.
No.
Except Lavinia. It's a disturbing.
I guess the dogs, maybe they barked.
There was dogs.
They ran around.
Yeah.
Bang of the house.
Yeah, well, there you go. And that is act two. Bard Brawlers, please go by bardbrawl.com and leave a comment on what you thought of this scene, this play, this act, our acting, our voices, or Eric's haircut.
Just we'll be posting a photo.
Yeah.
Next 2 to 3 months.
All angles. A panoramic photo.
Yes.
A video.
Yeah.
3D rendering. You can actually 3D print Eric's head directly off our website.
Yes, you can.
Okay. That's a project. Somebody will have a lot of fun with.
That might be worth doing.
Yeah.
Project. Be interesting. Print a brawler.
Print a brawler.
Thank you very much for joining us.
His haircut will be auctioned off at the next.
His haircut will be auctioned off, and we will be back with you for Act 3 shortly. Have a good day, and or night, and or morning.
Godspeed.
How much more doth beauty beauteous seem by that sweet ornament which truth doth give? That rose looks fair, but fairer we to deem. For that sweet odour which doth it live, the canker blooms have fall as deep as dye. As perfumed tincture of the roses, hang on such thorns and play as wantonly. When summer's breath their mass buds decloses, but for their virtue only is their show. They live unwooed and unrespected fade. Die to themselves, sweet roses do not so. Of their sweet deaths are sweetest odor made, and so of you, beauteous and lovely youth. When that shall fade, my verses distills your truth.